Now you've come out to be speechless, not a word to say.
I haven't a word worth saying.
Oh,
that's
well,
the trouble.
It doesn't matter what you say, as long as you make a sound, and then I know if the thing's recording all right.
Well, I'm at the moment very inspired in reading the Pale City Guardian.
Depends on whether you can read it.
I can't in parts.
Isn't it full of spelling mistakes?
The date troubles me most of all.
What?
I get January the 5th. Or July the 5th.
Non-existent, isn't it?
Very interesting reading that.
I'm sure it is.
Out where we were fishing on the back, on the shoulder fishing, as they called it. We'd go out off the passports and made of the breakwater, and away out off the chickens. Well, we'd come and sometimes we'd say to the boys, well, boys, where'll we go today? Will we go on three crunk, or will we go on the two lights, or will we go on the leg, or wherever we'll go on? You see, they're all different places they'd go on. So they would go out, and then the skipper would say, what do you say, boys, we take sail? Oh, let her run a bit, one of them would say, let her run a bit longer yet, skipper. We're not on three crank yet, and let her run, and then we'd run, well, all right, take sail. That was put the sail down. And we'd get the sail up her, and we'd start then to get everything all right, lower the sail, get everything out of the nets prepared then, and we put the nets. Now every man was to a position. The cook had to go down to look after the springback that was underneath. You see, that was the rope coming up where the net was fastened onto to keep the net in position on the bottom. And then there was two men shooting the cockbacks, and then one man would be shooting the underbacks, that's the cockbacks at the top of the net where the cocks are, and the other man would be shooting the underbacks. There'd be another man to the buoys, and there'd be another to the buoys. That is the floats. And when we were out there fishing, the floats, the buoys, they'd be on a 2.5 to 3 fathom, or 4 fathom strap. And what we used to call the 4 fathom strap, that was the longer, the deeper the herring, we thought the herring were deep. We'd go down deeper down there, you see, and that was the net to go down there, and the buoys would keep it floating and stable, you see, in the water. Well, then there was a man then, and he would, the one man over there, he'd be tying the stoppers, as we called them, from the bottom of the net, from the underbacks onto the springback, and that little bit go down, you see, and keep in position. The skipper would be at the tiller steering, and we'd leave the mizzen on her, and we'd let her go along whatever the tide was, and we'd get then we'd get the nets set, get the nets all shot, and we'd go down then and have supper, well, whatever the supper was, and one man keeping a lookout on top. Go down and have supper, and after supper, there's always a verse of a hymn or 2 verses of a hymn and prayer. If there's a man there that was taking prayer, or a man that was going to the prayer meetings, he would take the prayer himself. But otherwise, it was silent prayer. And then you would always have the prayer and the verse of a hymn, and then after that, that's what they called finishing the day. Mm-hmm. But I'm going before my story. Mm-hmm. When we were out, we weren't allowed to shoot until the sunset. Mm. And once the sun would start to set, every man would stand on deck with his hat off and say, we thank thee, O God, for the day that's past and gone, and for all the blessings thou hast given us. Be thou with us in the day that is to come. For Christ's sake, amen. And then when the sun would go down, we'd put our hats on, and then we'd start to shoot. They're very good men, although some of them go ashore and get a pint and one thing or another like that. Well, they're very good like that.
How long ago was that you're talking about?
I'm going back now, 1910. Mm. 1909 and 1910. That's when the fishing boats. There was no motors them days, you know, it was all sail. Mm. Well, then we'd go down, we'd finish supper, and we'd take a watch then. We'd one man to keep a lookout. We'd lie for 3 or 4 hours. We'd come up then. They say, what about hauling? Oh, well, we'd haul half a net or a net. And 20 yards in the net, you see. And we'd haul the net and we'd see what was in it. If there was a few inherent in it, some of them would say, oh, let her lie over the liggin. That would lie over the turn of the tide. And then we'd haul the net and get it in. And then we'd make for the harbour and get them sold. And when we gone in, I remember one day going in, I was, I was cooking the boat, and there was one of the men there, and he didn't like this, and he didn't like the herring they were doing too much, and the cook had to cook all the herring and all the things for them, you see. And there's one man there, he couldn't cook right for him, so the skipper said to leave it and let him cook his own. So when I come to the herring, no, that'll do me. He said, them is too much, them is not enough, and them is done enough, and so that was all right. So the skipper said, no, them'll do me. He said, no, them is mine. The skipper said, the herring was left, and I didn't cook them. He had to cook himself. Mm-hmm. So he said, all right. He said, get the pot of jam out, young fella. He said, that'll do me. So, oh, they were great boys. I remember one time, we were down in the back fishing. That's going down in the back fishing now, you see, but up there, you see, well, when I was cook, you'd be all sitting down round about, and I wouldn't get no sleep. Cooks would get no sleep. They'd be all talking and well, thinking that the young fella used to turn in of an afternoon for a bit of an hour, but they'd be all talking. I got night time at night then. They'd be all talking. They'd be turned in at night. And there were some of them with long whiskers on them. I remember one man with a long whisker on him. And I went up and looked in his book, and he said, what are they wanting there? What are they wanting, young fella? He said, I was only looking to see John with the sleep with the whisker under the bed or on top of the bed. He come out of the bed and chased me. But another day, I wouldn't get much peace on them. And one of the men, one of the other boats told me, get the bucket, he said, when I got the dishes washed. And just bring the plates down. They're all in bed after a good feed of broth. They're all lying in bed. And I was a Tom Corkish, I was, and the next boat, CT-55. And all the others were in bed after a good feed. So I got the dishes washed. And I put the dishes down, put the plates and platters down below. And I got the knives and the forks and the spoons, and I put them in the bucket. Well, there's about six steps to go down the ladder. So I just put the bucket on the top step and let it go. And you can imagine what kind of a calamity that would be. They all come out after me. One of them was going to clout me. And the skipper said, the first man, they'll hit him. He said, I'll hit the man, they'll hit him. He said, turn in. I said, I'm tired. I said, I'm getting no sleep. So I got peace after that. I had life and peace after that. But that was when you're out on the shoulder fishing. We used to work a 3-fathom strap, 2.5 fathom strap, or a 4-fathom. It all depends where far we were off. That was out off the chickens and out off the thing. And when you come down to the back fishing, as they called the back fishing, that's when the herring were getting spent and when they were spawning. We used to use a 2-fathom or a 1.5 fathom because they didn't believe in going down to the bottom for the herring. The fishermen said that the herring were like a woman or like an ordinary person. They were down there to spawn, and when they stopped down there for 2 or 3 days, they were sick in childbirth, the same as a human being was. Mm-hmm. And that's the way sometimes you'll get herring, and they're black to the bone. They shouldn't be fished off the bottom. And once they were well again, they'd come up to the top. That's the way they never fished more than a 1.5 fathom strap that would keep them off the bottom. That's when the herring were well again, they'd come up again, mm-hmm. when they were spent and finished. So I remember one time I came home from the boat. I'd been away for a while, and my father was acting skipper on one of the boats in 1918. And I came home on the Tuesday. I'd been away for about 22 years. And I came home, and he said, I'm afraid you'll let go on my place on Monday, son. He said, I was up, oh, he said, I hurt my knee. So I said, no, well, they got Manx rheumatics. He was after me then. So, no, he said. So I went on the Monday. I said, I'm not going skipper. However, I had to go skipper. None of the rest of them would take it. So we went out, and we were coming out of Douglas. We went out in the old ground, and we were back in the old ground again. And we went down off the Langness, and we stayed south or west off Langness. And went back, and I said, we got in the old marks, and there was a man there. They were all going by nicknames, Tommy Tom Jack, and the bishop and the governor, and they were all nicknames on them all, you know. And everybody had their own nickname, and that's what they were known as. So Tommy Tom Jack said, if your father was here, he said, you would go out and open the sound. So I went out and we opened the sound, and I said, what about taking sail? I was at the tiller. Oh, I will take the sail, let her try it here. Excuse me. A good wind on the sound. Let's just put it off on. And I was saying I wouldn't go skipper. However, I had to go skipper. We went out and we'd line off the, we got the, what, the ground, or we shot, and the nets down, and finished the day as usual. So we wouldn't lie on iron long when we were out on the shore and back fishing because of the dogfish. And the gobbag, you see, they would take the nets and they would beat the nets and the herring and all. So we just lie for a while. And we don't finish supper. We come up on what we call prove. Take a net and a net and a half in. And there's a nice herring. Oh, one of them said, let her lie over the ligand. That's lying over the low water, or the high water, whatever it was, the low water. You see, lie over the low water. So we lay over the low water, got up, and we had a nice shot. Got a good shot, we got the herring nets aboard. And we had a nice shot, and lovely herring they were too, lovely stuff. So we set off for Douglas, back to Douglas, and the men were doing the job while I was at the tiller, and there was Tom Keg stopped up with me. And Tom and we were there, we were talking, we went up, and there was a nice hard shot of wind in. So we went up along nice, so the boys were all down talking below, and I shouted down, any chance of getting a bit of breakfast? It was a hard breeze of wind, just jumping a bit, not much, but... So we went down for breakfast, and the cook had the breakfast ready for us, so one of them came up and took the tiller. I went down for breakfast. The cook says to me, "It's yours, Harry," he said. So I had a couple of herring and a mackerel. He said, "Here, Tom, here's thine," he said. He had four herring and three mackerel. And so he said, "All right." So he said, "Got the loaf, here's thy loaf, Tom," he said. "He can mean my loaf, here's thy loaf, Harry," he said. So I got the loaf and the butter and put the butter on it. And Tom met the whole loaf. And he said to the cook, "Have they got another loaf in, child?" "Yes, Tom," he said, "got another loaf here," he said. Well, he got the other loaf and he cut a slice of it and dead it. And then he went to cut another slice. So I said to him, "God bless thee, I say, Tom, for thy appetite thou not short." "Oh," he says, and up he got. So when he's gone up on the deck, up on deck after he put the things away, "Put the things away, young fella," he said. "I hadn't had," and he said, "get dinner ready in good time, boy Bach," he said. "I hadn't half breakfast of that, they're making fun of me," he said. And that's what they were, they had big appetites at them, but they were fine and healthy. Yes, yeah, so we got in the harbour then, and we got a good shot, and we got in, and we had a good shot over it. And I remember one time, I'll mention no names, there's one man with us, and we had a good night's fish, good week's fishing. And one of them said to me, "Well, they're giving the mother, hey," he said. "Oh," I said, "I'm giving it a lot." I said, "I've been away sailing, I'm not short at all, I'm only my father's place." That's when I was down acting my father's place. "I'm not short," I said, "I got a bit saved when I was away." "Oh, well," he said, "don't do that at all," he said. "Don't do that at all," he said. "I bet she'll give me nothing then," he said. "Give me nothing at all, if she know what I got." So I said, "All right," then I said, "put a pound or 30 shillings in the pocket, Tommy," he said. So Tommy kept 30 shillings, and I made the reckoned up how much to give her. But I said, "Give her that shillings," because she won't think it's only even money, she think they've got a shilling or two. However, anyway, went home, and I was in the house, and my mother was getting worried to go, and I was in the back kitchen. Knock come to the door, and somebody shouted, "Are there, Catherine?" That's my mother. "Yes," my father said. "Come in, come in. Is that thee, Betsy?" "Yes, come in." They were talking there. "The boy's done well," she said. "Yes, they didn't do too bad," my mother said. "How much did the young fella give thee?" he says. Mother told him, "Well, that's all right. That's what Tommy gave me too," she says. So I thought with him having a good week that he'd have kept something. However, anyway, I'll go home and give him a drink to him, to the Bob then. Tommy come down on Monday morning. "They're done well, young fella," he said. "Betsy give me 3 shillings," he said, "the 4 pounds," he said. "That's all I got. But little did she know," he said, "I'd a couple of sovereigns in my pocket," he said. And that's the way they used to do. See, the women would hold on to all and get some of them. I remember one night down in Douglas, and there's one of them there, and he's always growling about them taking a pint. And, the show, where's Tom tonight? And calling him by the nickname. And where's the way are you tonight? And he's down, he's going to show it. Oh, out in the pubs. He said, "He might not be," says Tom Corby. "He might not be." And so come down aboard. I heard him coming aboard. We finished the day and we went to bed. And I heard Tom coming aboard and took his shoes off, come down the ladder, took his shoes off. And then he come down then into the forecastle, into the cabin like. Skipper put his head there. "Is that thee, Tom?" "Yes, where the been, boy Bach?" "To the Ranthas Chapel," he said, "to the prayer meeting," he said. "Good, Tom," he said, "good, very glad to hear it. Have had supper?" "Yes, one of them took me home for supper," he said. "So I'm all right." Yes, well, good night, we're done supper, he said. Yes, right, good night, says Tom, good night. And he jumped into bed, clothes and all, and he was that full he could hardly stand. But that's where he'd been, and that's where he said to the skipper. And the skipper said to the fellow that was always shouting, there they were, Colster, he said, thou can't deny whether Tom was there or not, thou should have been to prayer meeting thyself. So there they were, he said, while I'm bugging about. So Tom went to bed, and he said to me the next morning, I thought, well, I give him a wink, because I was like wee waking, why waking, you know, and I give him a wink. He said, I two the points last night, met two the fellas, hey, he said, and I'd have feeded chips afterwards. That's the supper I had. Well, a fella did bring me out too. I won't tell no lie. No, that's what they used to do in days, because they used to be great at it. But they were a good, all wholesome men at the whole time. They were all, and they were very nice men to sail with. But there were some of them a cook. Now, when I was cook first, I was down there, down coiling the rope, what they call the springback. And I'd, of course, it was Monday morning, and after eating pop and cakes and all at home with my mother, and I felt a bit sick, so one of them said, I believe the cook is sick. Never, says one of them. So Tom Bulia come down, and he said, what's wrong with the boy? I said, I'm not feeling well, Tom. Huh, he said, there's no such thing as seasickness. It's freckin' the war, he said. Freckin' the war, he said, I'll take the fare out of thee, he said, and he took a rope end, and he belted my behind, that I was freckin' to be sick afterwards. That's the way they used to do with us. You're frightened to be sick afterwards.
That was hard treatment.
It was. Well, that's what they used to do, but it done us good.
Had they no cure for seasickness?
No, there's no cure for sickness, the seasickness. The only thing they used to do was just go up in the bow to the boat, and then if you were seasick, was have a cup of tea without sugar or milk in it, just so they'd drink a tea, and then it would come up again, and get right in the bow to the boat, which you'd be jumping up and down and up and down all the time. And that's the only way you could cure it. You'd have to get used to it. Mm. Yes, I remember one of the boats was in one of the things there in the cooks. And we used to have the sea biscuits when we got out too. And I know our skipper that I was with, he had always had to get a sea biscuit out of him. So one of the boats there now had to go to see the cook. And the cook was there and he had a table in their cabin there. It was a lugger. It was a nicky I was in. And I said, you got any biscuits? Yes, he said. So we got a biscuit apiece, and the uncle put a good slay of butter on it. And first thing we heard the foot up on deck. He gripped the biscuit from me and he slapped it up under the table and the butter stuck the biscuit to the table. Skipper come down, they've been in them biscuits. No, biscuits, no, he said. We'd none of them, he said. He hunted round about to see if he could find the biscuits. He said, no, we weren't eating no biscuits, nothing at all. That's all right, better not get in them biscuits either. But after he was gone, we finished our biscuit. Mm-hmm. It used to be cracker hash, what they call cracker hash too. That was, he'd go and buy a tin of corned beef, and they would get the sea biscuits, and they would soften them like you make bread, and like you make a brick of bread pudding, and then they would fry that, and was mixed with the corned beef, that's what they called cracker hash, though. Mm-hmm. I remember one night we were out, and the boiler wasn't good, and some of them said, the boiler's licking, Tom. Oh, we'll soon cure that, Tom, the bishop does it this time. And, we'll cure that, he said. So he said to the cook, don't light the fire in the morning, he said, till I'll tell thee. So the uncle said, all right. So Tom come down, and he got a basin of gruts. That's what we used to call gruts. That's the oatmeal, the oatmeal, the fine oatmeal. And he put it in the boiler. He said, I'll cure her, he said. Let the fire and boil. We never troubled at the boiler afterwards. He found all the seams and all the things, the tubes and everything. That cured it. Yes. Oh, it used to be good. It's a good fishing, you know, and he'd be doing the nets there and mending nets. Of course, I was used to mending nets with my mother. My mother was a net maker and my father was a fisherman. And he'd be often mending nets and knew how to mend a net and everything and put the things on them. But it was a good life with the fishing all the same, but it was tough. Mm. You had to be tough to be with it. Mm. Yes. And the big kettle was put on there and you had the big kettle and the pan and he had to fry the cook had the hardest time of the lot. He had everything to do. You see some of them come going on, are they there by Bach? Put your heads in me pipe. And they did this cooper's cake tobacco, which is very strong. Thou didn't put a torch to it. What torch to it, they would say. That is put a light to it. Put a torch to it by Bach. You go down in the pipe, the smell of the pipe and the gart of the pipe went down the heart of the stone, never mind the heart in the young fella, and you had to light the pipe and bring it up to them. And then give it to them. Oh, they were this together. There, young fella, do this. Somebody do that for me, and do the other for me, mm-hmm. All the time. Yes, but on the whole, they were a good crowd. You would now and again get a bit of a crooked fella now and again, but not generally as a rule at all.
Were they kind to you?
Oh, very kind. Oh, yes, they're very kind. They do anything for you. Oh, yes, they do anything for you. Nobody would dare touch the cook. No, nobody would dare do anything to the cook. If anybody shouted at the cook or something, some of them would take the spot. Oh, they're very good to the cook, but one or two of them was cussed with them. Yes.
Did the skipper have to keep the crew in order?
Well, he was there, the skipper on the boat. He was in charge of the boat, but there was no order to be kept. There was no occasion for keeping any order. They were all very orderly men, and they were all God-fearing men. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they say. They would take a pint, and they would take a thing, but they were all God-fearing men, and they wouldn't do harm to nobody. They wouldn't harm anybody. All was there, and they always prayed to God. The Almighty Power was their God. And they depended on him for everything. And on Sunday they'd go to church and chapel, and they were always very good for that. But at night time, everything, no matter when you went ashore or when you went, you had to get on your knees. And ever since that, as younger days, I was about 14, I've never went to bed yet and sailing or anything else where I got on my knees and thanked God for the day that was gone and said me prayers. I've seen me in some of the boats and they'd be firing shoes at you and making fun of you, but it never made no difference. No, it never made any difference to me. But the fishermen, they were very kind people, and they had to be strong men too, because there were sails, the big sails that were on them then, the big nickies and the big lugs and everything. And of course, they got the motor now, and there's no sails. And they got a different fishing altogether to what we had,
yes.
And a different life too. Yes, hard life. But we used to get a feed of broth on them now and again. And I remember we were one time, and I told the skipper I was fed up eating bread and margarine. I said, if there were 16 shares to the boat, now then you had to earn 16 shillings before you got a shilling apiece, and the cook would get sixpence, he was on a half share. Or 16 pounds before they got a pound a man, and the cook would get 10 shillings. So I said, I'm getting a bit of steak or something to eat anyway. Fed up with this, I said, I'm not used to this lot. So I went ashore and got some spuds and steak and onions and so on. And Tom Bulley, I said, that's the best feed I've had all the whole season, he said. Great feeding, he said. Well, I said, we can't live on bread and margarine. And the skipper used to come down and he'd say, I don't know what's wrong with the people. They'd put half enough salt in the butter these days until we found out that he was going and buying margarine. And then when he was putting it in the big mug, a big 7-pound mug, he was putting salt on it. But margarine he was buying, and then they were there, and that's what the way they were doing. Yes. But bread and margarine you'd be living on if the weather was bad. But if you got a few